Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships, what makes them work, how to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome.
Good morning. Today I am here with Aarti Joshi, the Fearless Life Coach, and she began coaching at the end of 2016 after leaving her corporate career in IT security. She's always been fascinated by romance, dating, and relationships, so is now passionate about guiding people through the Fearless Dating Program. She created it as a result of her own challenges with body confidence and dating, and she's created a dating life that empowers people to live and love fearlessly. She loves supporting people to go on this beautiful journey of not only meeting extraordinary and inspiring dates, but most of all, finally getting to meet their beautiful selves after what feels like for many a lifetime. She's also the host of Fearless Dating podcast and has recently appeared on BBC News Southeast hosting a Q&A session for the Asian Single Parents Network. And she's also appeared on BBC Asian Network. Welcome, Aarti. It's lovely to see you.
Thank you so much, Heather. It's an absolute pleasure to be here with you today.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Shall we say a bit about how we met?
Yes, please do.
Well, Aarti and I met when we were doing the Calling in the One program for ourselves. So we were looking to call in our beloveds. This is way back in 2016, and it was overnight courses because it was all being live streamed from America. So we're recording in August 2020, and we're experiencing the same hot nights that we experienced back then. It was great fun. So can you tell me a bit about your path to fearless dating? What was happening for you that started you on this journey?
So for me, it really began when a very significant relationship of about 4 years came to a close back in 2014. And it was an utter shock and surprise to me for this relationship to come to an end, because we had been speaking about, you know, potential future together, and it was a very committed relationship and we loved each other deeply. And so to then hear him turn around and say, I can't do this anymore, I can't be in this anymore, was such a shock and such a heartbreak to me that I was just left devastated by it and kind of broken in pieces on the floor. And I didn't really know what to do. I didn't really know what had happened and how it had happened. And I really kind of flailed around to look for answers and figure it all out, probably not in the healthiest ways as well, because I kept going back to him to be the provider of some of these answers and hoping to have some kind of resolution. And so for me, I realized, well, I've got a lot to learn. There's a lot of immaturity here in the way that I was during the relationship, the way that I'm behaving now at the end of the relationship. And I really felt like I needed to go on some kind of educational journey with this, because it was such a beautiful relationship. And I was just baffled by how I seemed to have got it so wrong. And of course, a bit of naivety in the sense that at that point, I was thinking it was me. It was me. I was the sole reason it all fell apart, not really being. And that in itself showed that there was education to be done, because all the fingers I was pointing at myself for why this broke down, why it went wrong. And so I went on this educational journey of learning and just becoming a sponge to relationships, romantic relationships, how they work, how they are strengthened, how they fall apart, and all of those things. And I loved it. I actually really loved doing this, learning this stuff. It felt so interesting and so beautiful to me to be able to learn about such an important part of our life that I guess so many of us, you know, we want to love and be loved, you know, it takes different forms for each of us, but I think that desire is there for each of us. So to learn so much about this subject meant so much to me. But what emerged during this time was that I had been in two long-term relationships, the one that had just broken down and one when I was at uni, which was also around 4 years as well. And in between that, there was nothing for me. So I went from being very single to very in a relationship back to very single. And that was my repetitive pattern. And there was such resistance for me towards dating because those two relationships were born out of friendship, one at uni, one at work. So there was no need for me to actively date in order to attain those relationships. So on this journey of re-educating myself about relationships, I realized, well, I'm actually very scared of dating. The reason I'm so single in this time is because I don't want to date. Why don't I want to date? And it started to emerge for me that there was this real fear of being vulnerable and also in my mind being scrutinized by a date potential partner for the way that I looked, because from a very young age, I had consistently heard that there is something wrong with the way that you look. You're too skinny. Are you anorexic? Does your mother not feed you enough? Like basically everyone in some way, shape or form saying there's something wrong with you the way that you are. And so I took on those messages that I was hearing to truly believe that there was something wrong with the way that I looked and felt very, very, very uncomfortable in my own skin. Had a very fractured relationship with my body. And so the last place that I wanted to kind of quote unquote expose myself to that kind of interaction is in a relationship or in a dating situation with a man.
I can really see that because you would be expecting that person to have all of the views that you had heard expressed to you and had taken in.
Yeah, to you. Absolutely. The expectation that they're not going to be any different to, because everyone had this opinion of me. You know, I would say like 80 to 90% of the people that I spent time with or interacted with, even random strangers that I didn't know, had an opinion on the way that I looked, on my body. There was no filter ever applied to that commentary. And so why would these dates be any different, right? What are they likely to see in me that all of my life, as far as I've known it, other people have failed to see in me? What would be different about them? And so, yeah, there was this expectation that they're just going to say the same things and it would be compounded because I would be attracted to them. And then so to hear someone that I'm attracted to say to me, well, I'm not very attracted in you because you're too this, you're too that, you're too ugly, you're too skinny, you're too hairy or whatever it is, right?
Like, it would be repeating the wound.
Yes, yeah. And even letting it in even closer to my heart, because this is someone that it's almost like they're slightly put on a pedestal because I have that attraction towards them. So I'm just like, no way, I'm not going to go anywhere near that. So I filled up my life, my single life, in a way that I didn't really have to interact with that part of life. You know, I would see other people, friends, family, just strangers, you know, all going about their dating lives and thinking to myself, like, how do they do it? How do they know what to do? And it's something that baffles and confuses me so much. Why does it seem so effortless for them, but such a mountain to climb for me? But I had those questions, but I was never willing to do anything about them in any way until that second relationship ended. And that's when I really realized just how scared I was. And this realization of, well, if I want something that even slightly resembles that previous relationship that I had or surpasses it completely, I need to do some work. But more importantly, I need to put myself out there. I need to be willing to make connections with people. I need to be willing to be able to sit in front of a man and let him have his opinions about me and know that it's not a slight upon me. It's not, you know, and start to heal that relationship with, that's what the process of dating is, right? You're there to find out whether you're attracted to this person or not. And that's okay. It doesn't mean anything bad about you or about them. Right. But there's a loving and respectful way to navigate that as well. And you get the opportunity to build that and create that for yourself. So essentially, I took myself on my own fearless dating journey of firstly healing my relationship with my body through challenging myself in a lot of ways, you know, if it's to wear certain clothes or to look at myself naked in front of the mirror, which I had managed to avoid for decades, right? <Yes. laughs> Right? Mm-hmm. And to even just have that interaction with my body, to see it in its naked state and not want to really rip it to shreds in the sense of the words and the dialogue that was going through my mind of it being mm-hmm. this thing that I have a really sort of antagonistic relationship with. Because I've said for a really long time to people, for that time that I had this fractured relationship with my body, I essentially was walking through life as a floating head because I was so disconnected from my body.
Right. Do you know, I'm sure a lot of women can identify with this because we're all used to all of the advertising, you know, what about those saddlebags, you know, let's do figure of eight because you don't want to have any belly fat, you know. How many weird emails do you get even through data protection that right. say, you know, let's move that stubborn belly fat or, I don't know, tone your muscles, anything, you know, that yeah. really we have to improve ourselves in order to be acceptable.
Absolutely. And I think that was, you know, one of the things because I used to hear, it was really weird. It was a very contentious relationship that I think even people had with my skinniness, you know, where on the one hand, they're making so much negative commentary on it. On the other hand, they're like, oh, but you're really lucky because you can eat whatever you want and you can do this and you can fit here and you can wear those kind of clothes. And it's just like a really flippant way of dealing with someone's kind of suit of clothing, right? This beautiful, sacred gift that we've been given. Our bodies, and people are just so blasé with the way that they talk about it, and that irked me a lot as well because the dialogue that I'd been hearing for a really long time as well was this skinny women are evil kind of thing, you know. It's really been pushed around in the sort of media as well, right, that skinny women are really kind of made out to be, I don't know exactly what word would be for it, but you know, they starve themselves to look like that. It's not fair that they look like that because all of the magazines and everything are geared towards women that look like that. And that's not the normal body type. How dare they? How dare they? How dare they? And it's almost, well, then there's what people call fat shaming, but there's also skinny shaming as well. Where people.
And there's all the envy. And what I'm hearing is all that envy of your beautiful body, you know, as an aspiration. And if there's a sense of, if I can't have a body like that, I'm going to criticize you for having you and make you wrong.
Right. Absolutely. And I don't know where and how it came about, but just this kind of permission that people have to make commentary upon someone's body, regardless of what shape, size, whatever we may have going on with our bodies, people have this feeling that they have the permission to comment upon it in unhealthy ways. And we respect that for people and not understanding that there can be longer term implications for that. You know, I was so scared. Yeah, absolutely. It's inflicting pain on someone. I didn't learn how to swim because I'd never wanted to put on a bathing suit, right, in front of people. And hated going to the spas and things like anything where my body had to be exposed in the slightest way. I just didn't want to do it. I would walk through the streets with my eyes sort of pinned to the ground because I just had such little confidence and didn't want to make eye contact with people, didn't want people to see me, became very invisible in that regard. And it was a horrible way to live.
Yeah. So how did you get yourself from there, using your fearless dating steps? How did you get from there to the confident woman I see before me?
It was a long journey for me, in the sense that, like I said, it was these constant challenges that I had to set myself, which from the outsider's perspective probably felt very small, right? But for me, they felt like huge mountains that I had to climb. And even if it's like the willingness to wear something above my knees, which I hadn't done since I was a little girl, or to wear something that was sleeveless and have my arms on show, or and being able to, you know, wear the things that I wanted to wear because I had been admiring them on other women for so long, but felt that I, in some regards, wasn't worthy enough to be able to wear those things, or I didn't look good enough to be able to wear those things. So things like that. And like I said, the mirror work was hugely important to me, to just be able to look at myself in the mirror and not go to that place of saying horrible, wicked things to myself, and actually focusing on what do I appreciate about the way that I look, like what do I love, and spreading that down to my body, and just having that time in front of the mirror to just say, I see you first and foremost. Me being able to say that to myself then allowed me to become more visible in the world around me. And it was like this slow emergence for me to do that. And you know, it culminated in me a couple of years ago doing a naked photo shoot. And I remember walking into the booth with the photographer, and the first thing I did was just cry. I cried straight away, because on the one hand, I was sad that I had to do this, knowing almost as a kind of bit of proof of how far I'd come, you know, within my relationship, my journey, but then also elated that I was actually there, ready to do this. I mean,
such an achievement.
Massive.
Oh, courageous.
Massive. To know that I'm actually willing here to take my clothes off in front of a photographer and have these photographs taken of myself was such a moment for celebration as well. So there was such mixed emotions in that in that moment. And Hannah, my photographer, just beautifully supported me through that process, and it was a monumental occasion to be able to do that. So it was that setting of challenge alongside dating. So I remember one date in particular where we had met a dating event, and the dating event was quite dimly lit. And then so when we had agreed to meet up for our coffee date on a sunny afternoon, I remember thinking, oh, what is he going to think of me? Because he's seen me in a dark room, kind of made up and, you know, wearing a nice outfit and things like that. But now he's going to see me in daylight. Like, these were thoughts that I would have, right? He's going to see me in daylight. He's going to see me not as dressed up, you know, but he's also going to be able to spot everything. He's going to see just how thin I am. He's going to see just how hairy I am. He's going to see just whatever I wanted to pick out about myself, I am. And as a dress, you know, I really like my, this, because another thing I really enjoy now is the clothes that I wear. I really love having like a minimalist capsule wardrobe. And then, you know, I had some beautiful bodycon, you know, very tight dresses, which I really enjoy. And I thought, I do want to wear that for my day. And I remember thinking, but, oh, you know, is he going to think I'm skinny? And then the other part of me is like, well, so what if he does? You are what you are, right? It's not about him. If he feels attracted to it, great. If he doesn't, no loss, right? You're just there to show up as you are, and you're there just as much to find out whether you're attracted to him as he is there to find that out about you. It's not like you're going there to present yourself and make yourself acceptable to him. It's a collaborative process, right?
And what I'm loving as well within that is I'm hearing the voices inside you. There's the vulnerable you that is the historic you that's come from the past, but you've done the work on yourself to find that kind, soothing voice who can be sort of the voice of reason, the voice of compassion and kindness, and realistic. I'm here as a powerful woman, and I can walk into that room as myself. I'm not giving my power away in terms of trying to impress him or be what I can possibly imagine he might want me to be. You are there just as you.
Absolutely.
And you are there to be you and him together.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was the willingness to keep putting myself in those situations to allow for that dialogue to come up. Not for me to kind of quash it down in any way and say, you're wrong, or why are you still talking about that? But actually for me to start to have a conversation there, because before it was to push it away and be like, well, why are you still thinking about that? Why are you saying that? And feel almost quite angry at that part of myself and guilty for also then pushing it away. Whereas now it's like we're in conversation together, these two parts of myself, you know, and the willingness to keep doing that really helped kind of start to expedite my journey with this. So yes, I did go on that date. Yes, I did wear that dress. Yes, I felt attractive as well. That was the thing. A lot of the time on this journey was then I'm just going to wear the things that I want to wear because I've not worn the things I've wanted to wear for so long. And I feel good in them. I don't care if no one else thinks I do, but I feel good in them. So I'm going to wear it. I'm just going to enjoy myself because I haven't enjoyed myself for like up until that point, 30. So I actually started kind of dating for the first time in my life at the ripe young age of like 32 or 33, something like that, right? So I was like, this is my catch-up time now. This is my time to enjoy myself because I hadn't allowed myself that for so long, and I just wanted to revel in the glory of that. And just continuing to explore that. And I remember another date that I went on, and we were actually doing the 36 questions to fall in love. I don't know if you've heard of them, but it's like these 36 questions split into thirds, and they increase in difficulty with it, each section that you progress into. But we were in the first section of it, and one of the questions was, share with your date or share with your partner five things that you really like about them. And so it was my date's chance to go first. He shared that he really liked my haircut that I just had that day. And the second thing that he shared was that he said, I love that you don't give a bleep. Right? He goes, you're so confident and you don't care what anyone else thinks. And that is so amazing to see because you don't get that a lot. And in that moment, there was like, hallelujah, chorus kind of going off in the background because I was like, yes, finally, he sees me for who I am. He sees me not putting forward this kind of false persona that I had really taught myself to believe that I needed to put forward in order to be accepted. I was just being unashamedly, unapologetically myself and enjoying it. And he got to enjoy that with me, right? And he was able to reflect it back to me, which was really beautiful. And that was a really kind of that moment of dropping in of like, yes, I have arrived.
Yes. You've really been seen, and it's evident that you've been seen for who you truly are.
Yes, exactly. No filters, nothing on top of me that has me feeling like I've put forward a false sort of representation of me or anything that just didn't feel naturally me. I was so me that whole day and the many ones that I was exploring at that time. And that was my fearless dating journey of just being able to go out into the world, be visible as myself, know that this isn't a process where I have to be accepted and validated, but actually it's a process of just discovery of myself and my dates and the potential of what we can create together if it goes further. And that is how Fearless Dating came to be.
Yeah, so you've written this program where you can take other women on this path.
Yes.
I just think it's amazing. Do you want to say a bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Fearless Dating, the actual group coaching program, is an 11-week journey. And essentially it was what I came to understand of how my fearless dating journey was created. And I was able to almost reverse engineer the steps that I took myself on and really break them down into to manageable chunks. Because one of the things that you asked me, right, was like, how did I get to become who I am today? And one of the things that I said was it was a long journey. And the beauty of me having been on this long journey is I've been able to find spot now the shortcuts and the quicker, more wholesome route to being able to become a fearless date, to be someone who really feels free in their own body. I've been able to create that into this 11-week process, so it doesn't have to feel like it's taking you a lifetime to create that for yourself.
I'm getting the thrills doing this, you know, I'm getting goosebumps on my arms, because the number of times, you know, I'm working with women and they say, oh, I just can't bear to go on the dating. And we can be doing Calling in the One or Conscious Uncoupling, and people are looking to the future. I just don't know what I can do to actually get out there and date, you know, and it's all of these issues that you're raising. Yeah. And it's just wonderful to have somewhere now that I can send them where they can do this, you know. And send them, offer them, you know, that there's this program you can do which really nails all of those things. And so short, I mean, 11 weeks, you know, 3 months really to revolutionize. I mean, that's my lovely word, revolutionize how you feel about yourself. And fearless dating, it just sounds like a lovely adventure rather than, you know, what we all get to feel like, oh, it's online dating, you know, everybody's heart sinks. Yeah. Because there's so much goes on. But actually, if you're a fearless dater, you will sift out all the dross before you ever get the other side of a coffee table from somebody.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the fearless dating journey itself is kind of broken up into two parts, essentially. And the first part is very much this work that is focused on ourselves of like, well, what do we want? What do we value? Are we as ready as we think we are to go on this dating journey? And we really do that inside work, that deep, deep work, because one of my things was I didn't want just to give people, because this is what I was seeing, like scripts being handed out of like, say these things, dress like this, do that, and then you'll meet people and you'll go on more dates and blah, blah, blah.
I find that offensive, actually. It's like, Don't be yourself.
Right. Yes, exactly. So this is the thing. This is one thing that I really heard in the sort of dating sphere was, on the one hand, people are hearing, especially from friends and family, oh, just be yourself. Be yourself. Like, you're great the way that you are. You know, just keep being yourself and you'll meet the person that you need to meet. On the other side in the dating world, you'd also hear, well, being yourself isn't working for you, right? So do this instead. And it's built on such shaky foundations because there's nothing there of substance where someone has, you know, really done the deep inner work to really find out who they are, who they want to be, how they want to work, go through life. So it's like you're then handed this template of do this, try this, be this. Right, and make it work, which is it's not going to. So the fearless dating journey is essentially slap bang in the middle. You get to meet yourself, who you really are, the person that you've been too scared to show to the world for whatever reason, right? Maybe it's been quashed down in some way, it's been ridiculed in some way. You get to meet that person that you are. You get to start sharing that with the world. And if there are any parts of you that you think, I don't really connect with that part of myself anymore, I'm happy to let it go. I'm ready to let it go. And I'm ready to step into and emerge into something else, something new. Well, you get to try that and you get to play with that. And I liken it very much to going into a clothing store. And the implicit agreement there is you can pick up as many clothes as you want and try them on. And there's no obligation to buy. You're allowed to try them on, right? So we have our default outfits that we go for, right? If it's the black t-shirt and the pair of jeans that are our usual uniform. And then from the corner of our eye, this wild outfit catches our eye. It's bright, it's colorful, or maybe it's a bit tighter or a bit looser than we would normally wear. But something about it just appeals to us. And so we pick it up and we take it into that changing room and we try it on alongside the things that we already know. And when we try it on, we're like, oh, this thing is actually a lot nicer than I thought it was, or it suits me a lot better than I thought it was, or I could grow to love this, right? Mm. So we have that opportunity to try out these new ways of being, these new ways of living, of loving, and we play with that. And it's that interaction of experimentation with what we have and what we want to be that becomes this new space of being yourself. You get to choose who you want to be, how you want to walk through the world, how you want to show up on a date, how you want to create a relationship with someone. And it's deep. It's deep.
I feel that. It's got strong foundation. It's brilliant. Ah, so is there anything else, any other juicy bit of information you want to share before we're done?
I think obviously, given the time that we're doing this podcast, we're coming out of lockdown, but there's still this physical distance. And there's a lot of uncertainty during this time. I think for anyone that was thinking of working on their love life during this time, may have felt a bit scary to think, well, when do I meet people? How do I meet people? How do I even attempt to create the potential of a relationship or a dating life during this time? And one thing I would say is it's an absolutely brilliant time to be navigating through this process as well. I mean, we live in a time of such abundant technology that we can use, and these resources utilized powerfully can create powerful results for yourself. So one of the things, I remember one of my clients who entered into the Fearless Dating Program just as lockdown was starting to take place, was a bit like, oh, is this the right time for me to do this? And one of the things that she really wanted to develop was the trust in herself to be able to discern whether someone would be a good partner for her or not. And I think that's one thing that this time has really afforded us, is that we get to develop our power of discernment more so than ever before. You know, we'd probably be talking on the phone or on a video call more than we normally would if we were dating in the more conventional way, right? And when we were dating in the conventional way, there's a lot of texting, there's a lot of going, meeting people in person, but there being sort of these ambient distractions that we have to contend with. Whereas if it's just you and your date on a video call or on the phone, you have the opportunity to spot like red flags or things a lot sooner than you may have, because you don't have those ambient distractions like you previously did. So I think this is a really opportune time to develop some real hardy skills to be able to date in a really powerful, fearless way. That I think if you want to date right now, if you want to still lay the foundations towards creating a beautiful relationship with someone, don't give up right now. Don't take your foot off the gas. This is really time to just keep utilizing the sources that we have around us to keep going and become an even more powerful dater.
That's absolutely wonderful. So you can find Arti at fearlessdating. Is that .com or .co.uk?
Actually, it's iamarti.co.uk. So I'll spell that out.
I beg your pardon.
No worries. iamarti.co.uk. And there's all the details about Fearless Dating, workshops that I'm running, a webinar that's coming up as well. And the podcast is there as well, if you want to give that a listen.
That's wonderful. And watch you on that iPlayer BBC News.
Yes, absolutely.
See you live.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Heather.
Bye for now.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me, as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.